2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to be talking about Naaman this morning. Leprosy is also sometimes in the Bible pictured, giving us a picture of sin and its effects. And we want to look at part of that today. 2 Kings 5:1. Would you stand as we read God's word? Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you are in control, that you have power over all things, that you have the ability to heal, the ability to save, to do whatever your hand wants to do. Bless us as we look at the scripture today. May it speak to our hearts. May my mind be clear. I pray that you would remove anything from my life that ought not to be there, and that I would be clean in your sight, an instrument that would speak your word, and that you would use me as your vessel. I pray that if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, they might come to know you. Christians might be drawn close to you, and we might recognize your will and your plan for our life. Bless those who are traveling. Keep them safe. Be with those in areas where there may be storms. Watch over them. Now bless the ill, bless the infirm. Thank you for loving us and speak to our hearts. And I pray that you might speak to the hearts of the leaders of our nation, that they would seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite you this week, as I do every week, actually, to look and read this scripture later in the week to see what it has to say and to remember what I've said to you. It's hard for me to say everything that I need to say. It's hard for you to hear everything in these 30 minutes or so that we have together. But I think as I explain it to you and then you take it home and look at it, it will be helpful to you if you would read down through it and see what the scripture has to say. Many of you are very familiar with the scripture, and you might say, why in the world is he preaching on this one again? Because we are so familiar with it. Well, I hope that there are some truths from it that might come to you as God has led me to speak today about this. We're talking about a man who is Naaman. He is captain of the army of Syria. Syria and Israel were at enmity with each other and Judah. They often had skirmishes back and forth. They had battles. It was not a pleasant thing. Right now, they were in kind of a system of peace, if you would, but there would be more trouble in the future. Naaman is the commander of the army of Syria. He is a general, if you would, a mighty important person. His position and his success in battle made him very valuable to the king. He was a great and honorable man to his master, and he was a mighty man of valor. Now, you don't realize how unusual that is, but in the Word of God, you read of men who are mighty men of valor. There are several of them, and I'm not going to read them all or relate them all to you, but there is Gideon, there is David, there is Jeroboam, and there are others. Naaman has the distinction of being the only Gentile listed as a great man of valor, as a man of valor. That's quite a statement about him, as the Bible tells us the person that he was. Now, he had fought against Israel on more than one occasion. He had won battles against Israel because God had used them to judge Israel and bring judgment on them and punishment. But Naaman found himself in a very peculiar situation. He was a leper. You can say whatever you want to say about this man in his greatness and his goodness and his ability, but he had a horrible, debilitating disease. It was incurable, and it would slowly kill him. In spite of the titles that he had and the respect that he had and his place with the king that he had, he was a leper. This is a disorder that was a terrible, loathsome disease. It was humiliating and would bring disgrace to a human being, if you would. It started with small red spots on the skin. The spots would grow larger. They would turn white, sometimes with a shiny or scaly appearance. The spots would spread all over the body. The hair would begin to fall out. The head. The hair would go off of the head. The eyebrows. The fingernails and toenails became loose and would start to rot and fall off. The joints of the fingers and the toes would fall off piece by piece. The gums would begin to shrink and the teeth would fall out. Leprosy kept eating at the face until the nose, the palate, and the eyes rotted and the victim wasted away to death. Not a very pretty picture. Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, had one of the greatest honors you could have, was loved by his master and his commander, but had a death sentence hanging over him that would slowly take his life, but in the meantime would disfigure him in public so that everyone saw that. I said a while ago that leprosy has been talked about as a picture of sin. Leprosy you see, sin you do not always see. Leprosy, you can watch it take the body. It starts, like we said, with the spots and moves across the body until it takes the whole body. And you can watch and say, there's a leper and he's dying and look what happened this week and look what happened this month. But sin can ravage your soul and the inside of your body in such a way that you never see it and no one else sees it and just as surely eats you away and destroys you. The problem is you don't see it. And it's easier to ignore things that you don't recognize. And so therefore, we may be in the same condition that Naaman is in, but we don't realize it. But it's happening to us. Now the Bible tells us that as he had this leprosy, that we realize that on one of the raids that the Syrians brought against Israel, they had captured a young lady. They had taken her back and she became Naaman's wife's servant. Now, it doesn't take us very long to realize that there's nothing fair about that. This young girl was taken away from her parents. They would miss her all of their life. She would miss her parents all of their life. What a terrible thing to be taken captive by the enemy. But she served, and she served well in Naaman's home, serving his wife. In fact, she served apparently with a very pleasant attitude. Not only did she serve with a pleasant attitude, just think of all the young maidens that could have been taken and brought into Naaman's life. Who was brought in? A little girl that apparently had been instructed in the ways of God. Not only had she been instructed in the ways of God, she had been taught to love people and to care for people and to serve people. And so one day she said, I wish that my master could be with the prophet that's in Israel. Because if he would go to him, I know that he would heal him. Do you realize that this little girl was an unwilling missionary? She didn't ask to be taken from home. She didn't ask to be captured. She didn't ask to be separated from her parents. But because she was taken and she was in the position where she was and she had been raised in a godly home, she had the truth of God to be able to spread, and very unashamedly she spoke up and said, there literally is a God in Israel, and if my master would just go there, he would be healed. Again, God allowed, and we don't understand everything that God does, but God allowed this captivity to accomplish a greater good. And this little girl, although she was not called as a missionary, became a missionary in captivity to talk about God and what he could do. The ways of God are mysterious. We don't know how he works. This little girl must have been raised in a godly home, taken at a young age, irreplaceable for her parents, missed by them, and yet she was an outstanding, faithful witness under the current circumstances. She cared enough to speak up and to believe that Elisha would heal him of his leprosy through the power of God. And notice, if she had not been taught these things, a religious education at home, she would have never been a witness for the Lord. We never know what we're doing when we raise our children and teach them about Jesus Christ and the plan of God for the life. If she had not been brought up in the knowledge of the Lord, she would not have been an instrument of such a great salvation that took place. Well, when the word comes to the king of Syria wants to see his servant healed so badly that he sends Naaman with 10 talents of silver to the king of Israel. Now, I don't know how much 10 talents of silver were at that time, but someone has speculated that in our day and age, they have figured it, that it would have amounted to $1.2 million. That's by our standards. Regardless, it was a great amount. The king of Syria thought so much of his general that he was willing to pay extravagantly to have him healed. He was in such a desperate situation, he wanted to help him. And so he was sent to the king of Israel. He shows up at the king of Israel with this letter from the king of Syria. And the king of Syria says, I've sent you my general, I want you to heal him. The king of Israel said, what in the world is going on? Am I God? I can't heal. I can't make alive. This guy's looking for trouble. He's looking for a reason to fight me. He knows I can't heal him. And now he wants to go to war again. And he wants this to happen and take place. Isn't it interesting that the king of Israel had no more knowledge of God than he did? That he did not have a prophet in his court. Elisha was not welcome there. He had kicked him out. He didn't want anything to do with him. And so he's there tearing his clothes. Imagine the king of Israel acting this way. And Elisha gets word. He hears. The king is all upset. He's tearing his clothes. He's upset down there. And Elisha sends word to him. Remember, Elisha's not welcome in the court of the king. King really doesn't want anything to do with him. Really has defied God in many ways with what he's doing. And so, as he sends word, he says, send him to me. King, what in the world's the matter with you? Why are you so upset? Why are you acting like you are? He rebuked him. Isn't it interesting that the king of Syria thought that the king of Israel had a better relationship with his own God than he did? The king of Syria probably had a better relationship with his pagan God than the king of Israel did with the real God. And so Elisha says, send him to me. You don't need this crisis. It's a needless crisis because God is able to take care of it. And again, Naaman would have never known there was a prophet in Israel by hanging around the palace. Isn't that sad? Would never have known there's a prophet in Israel by hanging around the palace. Elisha had to send word. Again, he granted a personal audience, if you would, told him to come, and he came. The problem is, whenever Naaman came to Elisha's house, Elisha stayed inside. He didn't go outside. Now, the Bible tells us, if you will read it, that Naaman thought within his mind, I know what's going to happen. I'm this great man. I've come here from Syria. I'm going to come down to the prophet, and when I get to the prophet, he's going to come outside. And he's going to greet me. And he's going to come over to me. And he's going to put his hand over me. And he's going to put it down on me. And he's going to come up with all these magical incantations and tell the God of Israel how great a person I am and how much I need salvation. He had this thing all worked up in his mind. This is how it's going to happen. And he gets there and Elisha doesn't even come out to greet him. He doesn't say howdy. He doesn't say welcome. He sends a servant out. And the servant says, go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. You talk about an affront. You treat a general like this, a general of the enemy, and you don't put your hand over him and you don't make a big to-do about it. And Naaman deserved all that stuff, you understand. God needed to do that to him. And he became so angry that he turned in a rage and he left. And he did not go wash in the river. Thank God he had some servants who had some common sense. And his servants came to Naaman and said, Master, why will you not go wash in the river Jordan? Don't you understand? He asked something simple of you. And of course, he had already told Elisha, there are much better rivers in Damascus. Abana and Pharpar are much better than that muddy old Jordan River. If I'm going to wash somewhere, I'll wash there. And they said, Master, if he'd have asked something great of you. Now, this isn't what they said. They said something great. But basically, if he'd asked you to sacrifice 100 cows, you'd have done it. 1,000 bulls, you'd have done it. Whatever he would have asked you to do, you would have done it. Why not just do this simple little thing and see if it works? Isn't it interesting, and thank God that he puts people around us sometimes that have common sense and have the courage to step up and talk to us. And so, Naaman did what Elisha told him to do. He cooled his temper. He went down to the Jordan and he dipped 7 times. Now, I think we have to be real cautious how we treat the scripture. I've heard preachers say he didn't want to go down there and he went down there reluctantly and he dipped in the water and looked the first time and said, oh, it didn't happen. And the second time, oh, it didn't happen. So I don't believe that happened at all. In fact, if you read the Hebrew, the old Hebrew word literally means to plunge. It appears that Naaman plunged into the water 7 times. When he got his senses together, and this is what God's telling me to do, okay, I'm going to do it. And he plunged into the water 7 times, and when he came up the 7th time, he was healed. His skin was just like that of a baby, if you would. The leprosy was gone. Naaman had 2 enemies attacked him that you and I have attack us. A proud self who demands recognition. People come to Jesus or don't come to Jesus because they say, I deserve him to do this. Or I deserve him to do that. It can't be as simple as I pray and say I'm a sinner and forgive me and come into my heart. Can't be that simple. So there's got to be something more to that. God's got to do something great for me. Proud self who demanded recognition. And when he didn't get it, he turned away in rage. His second was evil questioning. Why do I have to go to Jordan? I got a better plan. Abana and Pharpar are much better. Isn't that kind of what happens in our lives? The reason that sin gets control of us is because we have a proud self who demands recognition. It's offensive to think about the cross. It's offensive to think of a Savior who died on the cross. It's offensive to think a little baby was born. It's offensive. And then the other problem we have is like I said, our evil questioning. But why do I have to confess my sin? Can I do something else? Why do I have to go forward in church? Can I do it? And obviously you don't have to go forward in church to be saved. But why do I have to make it public? Why do I have to be baptized? Why do I have to join a church? Or why should I? We ask various questions about our... Why should I have to stop doing the things that I do? Because you see, I've got it under control. I'm not a terrible sinner like a lot of people are. I am temperate in my sin. I don't go overboard. That evil questioning. And like I said, his response was generously rewarded. Complete, miraculously, he was healed. The beautiful thing is, this simple act happened without the prophet there, without any incantations taking place, without any big show. It wasn't credited to Elisha. It can only be credited to God. When he washed in the river by faith, like he was supposed to, God healed him. And God got all the credit. Now, Naaman comes back to Elisha, and when he comes back to give thanks. It kind of reminds me of the New Testament. Remember the 10 lepers that were healed? And only one came back, and he wasn't even an Israelite. And here is this Gentile who comes back to thank God. Now, remember how proud and arrogantly he came? And now he comes back in simplicity to thank Elisha for what God has done. You see, the most haughty and proud have least to value, but the most excellent are humble, knowing they have nothing but what they have received. We only have what we've received of God. When cleansed, he was not dictatorial and he was not proud. He was humble. The healing was connected with the word of the prophet, convinced him that the God of Elisha was the true God, and he wanted to give him a gift. Now, he came to buy healing. Now he comes to give an offering, a gift, a whole different thing. I want to give a gift to the ministry of what God is doing. Elisha refused it. He was not going to be made rich by anybody, and he was not going to let anybody claim that he was credited for the healing, even though that isn't what Naaman was saying. He refused to take it. No, I'm not going to take it. But an interesting thing takes place now. And if you read theologians, they're going to argue about it, and they're going to tell you different stories. And you can listen to whatever one you want to, but I can tell you what I believe happened. When Elisha refused to take his money, Naaman said, basically, I'm going back home. And I would like 2 mule loads of dirt to take with me. What in the world? 2 mule loads of dirt to take with me? Yeah, 2 mule loads of dirt. And Elisha let him do it. What does that mean? Like I said, theologians are going to tell you different things. If you read the Word of God, altars were often made out of dirt. They weren't all made out of brass or whatever. They were made out of dirt at times. Whenever people were traveling, our forefathers, some of them, traveled and they built altars. I believe that Naaman said, I know who the true God is, and he has told him that. I know that the God of Israel is the only true God. And when I go back home, I'm not going to worship anybody else or anything else. I'm going to worship God. And I want 2 mule loads of dirt to build an altar that when I worship, I'm not worshiping on pagan ground. I'm worshiping on holy ground. Now, not holy in that it's mystical, but holy in the sense of the word that it came from the Holy Land. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But he gave him 2 loads of dirt. And then he said something else that's quite interesting. He'd already said, I'm never going to sacrifice or offer worship to any other God except the God of Israel. But when I go back to my master, and when I go into the house of his God, and he kneels and puts his hand on me, I want you to realize that I am not kneeling to a pagan God. I am only doing it for the sake of my master. Now, you can argue with that. You can disagree with that. You can do with that whatever you want to. I know that we're not supposed to worship in the house of idols or pagan gods. But here's what I believe that Naaman was saying. I have a position where I work for a pagan king in a pagan country. That's my life and that's my job. My pagan king sent me here to be healed. So he knows that the God of Israel is more powerful than the God he serves. But he's not going to stop serving his God. As his general, it is my job to accompany him as his bodyguard when he goes into the house of his God. And I want you to know that because of my job, I will go with him. That does not mean that I am worshiping that God. And I don't believe his master believed he was worshiping his God. I fully believe that Naaman went back home and gave a report and said, you should have been there, king. Man, you should have seen what happened. Here's what I thought was going to happen, but it wasn't. And God healed me. And he's the only true God. And I'll tell you, king, from now on out, I'm not serving anybody but him. I believe the king knew that very well. But with his job, he followed him into the house of his God. But Naaman says, I'm not worshiping that God. I'm taking an altar and making it to my God. That's where I worship. I don't know that it's a lot different. And again, you don't have to buy my explanation. But I don't know that it's a lot different than the Secret Service agents who go with the president. You realize they have to accompany him wherever he goes. If he goes to church, they have to go with him. They have to sit there beside him. They have to listen. That doesn't mean they worship. That doesn't mean they believe what's going on there. That doesn't mean they're Christians. It means they are there appointed by their job. And I think Naaman made it very clear that he was a child of the king. Before he was an outcast, alien on earth, dying, but now he's a child of the king. And I know my time is out, but let me quickly sum it up with this. What happens next is very interesting. He leaves. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, is angry. This Syrian came in here and he got healed and he was rich. He was going to give us a boatload of money. And you didn't take it. And he thinks in his mind, this isn't right. So what does he do? He follows Naaman. And Naaman sees him coming and he thinks something's going on. And I want you to notice the change in Naaman. Remember when Naaman came to town, how arrogant he was? stayed outside. Elisha won't come out to me and all that kind of stuff. What does Naaman do now? Gets out of his chariot for a servant of the man of God. Gets out of his chariot and walks to the servant. And Gehazi bold-faced lies to him and says, there's a couple of sons of the prophets that showed up that my master didn't expect. And we need a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And my master wants them. Naaman says, sure, I'll give it to you. In fact, take two talents, and gave him two talents of silver. And it was so much silver that it required two servants to carry it, probably 120 pounds each. And Gehazi took it and hid it and let Naaman go on his way. Then he goes to his house to serve his master. And Elisha says, Gehazi, where you been? He said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, oh, yeah, you did. My heart, my spirit was with you when you went to that man and he got out of his chariot. And when you hit that stuff. And he said, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be a leper till the day of your death. You know what covetousness did? It got Gehazi a lot of money and a couple of pairs of garments. You know what it also got him? Naaman's leprosy. If you want Naaman's wealth, you can have his leprosy also. But one last thing I want to say to you, and that is this. Remember the little maid? Oh, what a witness she was. This poor little captive maid, if anybody had a right to be angry, she did. But she said, I just wish my master was in Israel so he could be healed. She did such graciousness, such favor to the kingdom of God. And here is Gehazi, a servant of the living God. And what does he do? He brings disgrace to the name of God, to this newly won pagan. Because he lies and demands money. So he goes back now and says, oh, Elisha changes his mind. He does want money for what he did. Do you see how easily we can bring ill upon the name of God? Naaman became a child of the king. He was a pagan, but he became a child of the king. And he did it as God humbled him, and by faith he trusted God. So our musicians come, we're going to have our hymn of invitation, and God speaks to your heart. Whatever it might be that God is talking to you about, if you don't know Him as Savior, if you're a Christian that God has spoken to you about something, if you realize there's a ministry He wants you in, whatever it might be, you want to be a member of this church, whatever it might be, this is your time as we sing together. I once was an outcast, alien on earth. I was a sinner, but then I had the privilege of being brought into the kingdom by Jesus Christ. And by that simple act of dipping in Jordan, is just like that simple act of coming to Jesus by faith. He saves us and He has a plan for our life. Naaman went home changed. And I wonder how many people he witnessed to about the true God of Israel. Would you stand as we sing? I am the place.
wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Thank you for being with us today. Have a great week. Remember our Bible study tonight at 6, and may God bless you as you go out today. Fred, would you dismiss us, please?
Shall see.